Blog Talk Radio.
Our subject is focused on the resurrection and the spirit of resurrection. Either way you want to look at the subject, you're going to talk about the relationship of the Holy Spirit and his connection with the resurrection of the last days. We began this study last week with a brief introduction and then got into the study on Monday. We've talked from Ezekiel chapter 36. On those 2 days, and today we're going to be delving into Ezekiel chapter 37. So hang on for the ride. It's going to be very interesting as we continue to build the foundation that we can move into the New Testament and then understand the things that are related to the resurrection. Before we get underway, I'd like to once again thank you for your presence today and also invite you to give us a call at 646-378-1919. Again, that's 646-378-1919. We want to get your questions on the air, so feel free to give us a call and offer your questions if you have any comments or even criticisms about the lesson. We encourage those as well. We realize that iron sharpens iron, and therefore, if you want to have a difference with us of opinion, express a criticism, we feel that that's fine because we're going to do our very best to answer with the Bible answer. And if there is an area where you can encourage us to have a bit more insight and wisdom on the subject, we would invite that. And it's our aim to be a servant. It's our aim to study. It's our aim to learn. And that's what we're seeking to do. Now, also we want to encourage you to visit our website, which is www.lastdays-eschatology.net. I'm going to repeat that for you. It is www.lastdays-eschatology.net. What that will do is give you an opportunity to study more about the subject, to give you a bit more in-depth information on these studies. It's not very easy to give you everything in a little 30-minute broadcast, so we want to make sure that you have a way to get additional resources and get more questions answered if you like. There's a second website, which is www.allthingsfulfilled.com. Again, that's www.allthingsfulfilled.com. And there you'll find downloadable information, articles, videos, audios, all kinds of information that can help you in your study. You'll also find charts and for discussion. These are things that we have put in place to make it easier for you to understand and to grasp the meaning of these subjects. Now, when we talk about the resurrection and the Holy Spirit, we're looking at Ezekiel chapter 37. We laid a foundation from chapter 36 where God said he was going to give Israel a new heart. He was going to put a new spirit within Israel, take out the stone heart of flesh or the heart of flesh, and then give them, take out the stony heart, rather, and give them a heart of flesh. He said he was going to put his spirit within them and cause them to walk in his statutes, and they would therefore keep his judgments. Now, we must understand that when we talk about Israel, we have to see Israel in their covenantal death state. The reason we call it a covenantal death state is because it was not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Israel was to receive redemption through the substitutionary death of the Messiah. In other words, it was going to be his blood that would be the fountain for uncleanness and to remove the filthiness from Israel. Now, this was prophesied in many passages. It particularly was spoken of in Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 1, that there would be a fountain opened up in Jerusalem for uncleanness and to bring Israel to a state of righteousness before God. In Ezekiel 37, the text continues on in speaking about Israel's condition. And you will see in this text that Israel is considered as dead. It is the subject of the Valley of Dry Bones. Many, and even myself at one time, had believed that this passage referred to the historical event of Israel in Babylon, and there could be somewhat of an illusion there, but when we look at the correlation and the involvement of the work of the Holy Spirit, there is no possible way that we can assign and limit this passage to what transpired during the Babylonian captivity and their release from captivity. One of the reasons simply being that God did not pour out his Spirit within Israel's history in the past. God did not bring about the Holy Spirit as a blessing from the Messiah until the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension of Christ, as is stated in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. And so while they did have prophets and others that demonstrated various miraculous things among them, those were not the last days' evidence of the pouring out of the Spirit, as Joel talked about in Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32. Let's get that passage before you so that you have it as a foundation as we continue to study on this particular theme, a very important one, especially in my judgment. Now, in Joel chapter 2, verse 28, the Bible says, "And it shall come to pass afterward." The word afterward means that a break in the context or in the subject matter has taken place from what Joel had stated in verses 1 through 27, where he was talking about something that was current in his day. Now he begins to talk about something that is remote from his historical point of view, something that is later to come in time, and therefore it was something that was scheduled for the last days, and we'll see that to be the case when we look at the parallel text in the New Testament. Now the Bible says that it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever hears or whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. Now, this prophecy of Joel is a very significant one. It is a very key passage, because Jesus, when speaking about his departure from the world in John chapters 14 through 16, talked about sending the Holy Spirit. And he said that unless he went away, the Holy Spirit could not come to them. But he promised the disciples he would not leave them as orphans, that he would send another comforter to them, that he would send the Holy Spirit to them. Now, at the end of his ministry with the apostles, after his death, burial, and before his ascension, when giving instructions to the apostles in terms of what they were to do in preaching the gospel, at the close of the book of Luke, beginning in verse 46, the Bible says, "He said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but wait or tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued from power on high." Now, Jesus tells the disciples, even just prior to his ascension, that they were to wait in the city of Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. Now, why are we making this point? So that you can simply see that the Holy Spirit, which was promised in Ezekiel chapter 36, as well as chapter 37, did not come until the New Testament times, that is, until after Jesus' ascension back to the right hand of the Father. He tells the apostles, even though they have been promised the Holy Spirit, that they were to wait in the city of Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. Now, beginning in Acts chapter 1 and verse 5, Jesus tells them, or verse 4 particularly, Jesus tells them, as they were assembled together with them, commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise. Now, that's the promise he had just mentioned according to Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. But wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power or own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Observe, Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem. So that ties together the text in Luke 24:49, where they were told to wait until they received the promise and be clothed with the power from on high. He once again reiterates in Acts chapter 1, the prophecy says, or the scripture says, that they were to receive the power of the Holy Spirit and be witnesses unto him in Jerusalem, and therefore they were to wait at Jerusalem. Now, in Acts chapter 2, the Bible points out that when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem devout men from every nation under heaven. So you can see how the promise is being fulfilled in the apostles. They are at Jerusalem. They have waited. Jesus has ascended to heaven. He has now sent forth the Holy Spirit. This is precisely what Peter tells them. He says, Jesus has shed forth this which you now see and hear. Now, having said that, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 16, he says, but this is that, when he explains what had taken place in the midst of these Jews who had heard this phenomenon and had gathered together on the day of Pentecost, he says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God. Now, that is an interpretation of Joel chapter 2 and verse 28. Where Joel said, it shall come to pass afterward, Peter says, it shall come to pass in the last days. And therefore, the word last days defines Joel's term of the word afterward. That being the case, then it shows that the prophecy of Joel concerning the Holy Spirit did not come in Joel's day. It did not come in Ezekiel's day, who prophesied pretty close to the same time, but it rather came in the days of the apostles. Therefore, the message of Ezekiel in Ezekiel 36 about the new heart, about the new covenant, about the new land, about all the fulfillment of the blessings to Israel, since they are connected with the coming of the Holy Spirit, do not arrive, are not received until the times of the apostles. And furthermore, we cannot extend them beyond the time of the apostles, because the work of the Holy Spirit falls within the parameters of Jesus' going away and his return. Therefore, within a biblically defined period, a biblically defined time frame of the ascension and the parousia, or the coming of Christ. This is precisely what the Bible states, and we'll show that in 1 Corinthians when we turn there. They were to be confirmed until the end, that they would be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. That confirmation takes place through the work of the Spirit. So in Acts chapter 2, Peter quotes Joel's prophecy virtually word for word and ascribes it to his day and to the events that were taking place within the first century. That being said, let's now approach Ezekiel chapter 37. The Bible says, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bone. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. Ezekiel is here recounting this vision that he received, and as a result of the vision that he received about the valley of dry bones, he utters the following prophecy. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. Now, I want you to understand that God is prophesying concerning these dry bones, and he says, Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you, and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Now, when we look at this, it appears that God is talking about reanimating physical bodies. It appears that God is speaking of reanimating biological dead bodies, bodies that were nothing but bones lying in the graveyard. When he says that he was going to put muscle tissue on them, he said he was going to put breath in them, he was going to cover them with skin, and then they would live. Now, this is a very descriptive illustration. This is a very descriptive viewpoint of this resurrection that God is talking about, but he's using these physical terms to convey a very significant and higher spiritual meaning. Let's go further. Verse 7, So I prophesied as I was commanded, Ezekiel says, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. And he said to me, Prophesy the breath, up to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, Our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Now, please understand, when they make this statement, number one, it is a clue, a huge clue to us, that Israel is not physically dead. Israel is a nation that has been divided, they have been split, they have been cut off, and they are in idolatry, they are in captivity, and they are therefore cut off from God, cut off from the temple, cut off from the presence of God, in the land of the enemy, and they feel as though this is where they're going to die. So they say, our hope is lost. We have no hope of ever being reunited with God. Well, God has a positive message for them through the prophet Ezekiel and through the message of the valley of dry bones. So here is what he says to them in verse 12. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Now that is the same language that he used over in Ezekiel 36 and verse 28 when he says, Then you shall dwell in the land. Now, the statement in Ezekiel 28, or 36 and verse 28, presupposes the resurrection that is found in Ezekiel chapter 37. Because in chapter 37 and verse 12, he says, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land. So what happens before they enter into the land? They must be resurrected from their graves. The resurrection takes place, and then they enter into their land. Therefore, in Ezekiel 36 and verse 28, when he says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them, then you shall dwell in the land. You can therefore see how the spirit is involved in their resurrection so that they are empowered to enter into the land and privileged to enter into the land. Now watch. In verse 13, then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. Look at verse 14. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live. See, the spirit comes first, and then they live. That means that God places his spirit in them in order to quicken them and give them the life that they need so that they can dwell within this land. The Holy Spirit, therefore, is critical to Israel's resurrection. It is critical to the new birth of Israel. It is critical to Israel rising from the death that is spoken of in the chapter. Once again, we remind you, Israel is not physically dead. They simply stated that their hope was gone, that their bones were dry, that they were cut off from God, and they were, in fact, cut off from God. What caused Israel to be cut off from God? Just as stated in chapter 36, it was their uncleanness, it was their abominations, it was their iniquities, it was their evil ways and their deeds which were contrary to the way of God, their filthiness and their uncleanness. In Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your sins have separated between you and your God, and your iniquities have hid his face from you that he will not hear. God didn't say he cannot hear. It says he chooses not to hear when sin and iniquity cuts off the relationship between God and man. So when Israel said, we are cut off, it was their transgressions before God that caused them to be cut off. And when we are cut off from God, that is separation, and separation is a state of death. Let me give you an example from James chapter 2 and verse 26. The Bible says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. In this passage, we have two examples of death. One example is that which occurs when the body is separated from the spirit. That is physical death. Secondly, when faith is separated from obedience, that is spiritual death. When we claim to believe but do not obey, that is disobedience and therefore causes separation from the Father. And therefore, we have what is called sin death, that is, people refuse to obey God and thereby separate themselves from God in sin. This Israel had done with their abominations, with their idolatry, with their evil deeds, with their iniquities, with their uncleanness, and with their filthiness, and with their abandonment of the commandments of God. So this is why God sent them, one, into Assyrian captivity, cutting off the 10 tribes of Israel, and two, into the Babylonian captivity, punishing Judah for their sins as well. And therefore, they are cut off from the presence of God in the temple, cut off from the ability to serve him, cut off from the mediation that took place in the temple through animal sacrifices. But even as they are reunited to their physical land, they are yet cut off from God. And this is the message that we find in the New Testament, because they are the slaves of sin, being unforgiven because the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin. This is why Jesus came into the world. The Bible says in Luke 19 and verse 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus, when he was born, the angel told Mary to call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Israel, therefore, was condemned under sin. The Bible concluded that all were under sin. Number one, he says, for we have all come short, and, or rather, all fall short, and of the glory of God. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This being the case, we have none that were righteous, neither the Jew nor the Gentile, for all were concluded under sin. So each category of men, whether you were a Jew under the law, whether you were a Gentile apart from the law, the Bible says all are concluded under sin, that the righteousness of Christ might be upon all, that through faith in Christ, all men could be saved. And the Holy Spirit was required in order to bring about this condition to raise man out of that death. And so the Lord said, I will put my Spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. So it was the Lord who was going to perform it, just as it was the Lord who was going to speak it. But what does this tell us? This tells us that baptism through the Spirit would take place through Christ. It tells us that it would take place through the Lord. It tells us that even though they were to expect baptism in the time of the Messiah, they were to understand that baptism would take place through the Lord, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Jews had this great expectation of the Messiah to come and to usher in this new age, this heavenly age, this age called the age to come, that he would come in and usher in this new age where they would receive eternal life, where they would receive life from death, where they would rise from their graves. And when we read the New Testament about resurrection, that is what it's talking about. Not bringing physical Israel out of physical tombs, but bringing Israel out of their state of death, out of their state of separation from God. That is what Ezekiel 36 is all about, and 37 is all about. The Valley of Dry Bones is a picture of all Israel. Now, when he says that all Israel was going to be, that these bones, rather, were the whole house of Israel, you've got to understand that context. Why? Because at the time, Israel had been separated. The 10 tribes had been cut off, and we had Judah remaining in the covenant relationship with God, but there was going to come a time in the future when God would gather together all Israel. In other words, he's going to bring back the 10 tribes. Now, those 10 tribes are brought back through the call of the Gentiles. We're going to look at that as we further establish this, and you'll see that particularly in the latter part of Ezekiel 37, which we will discuss on tomorrow. We will look at Deuteronomy chapter 32. We'll also examine Ezekiel 37, and we will be looking at Ephesians 2, other passages in Romans, and also in the book of Hosea, to tie together this coming in of the Gentiles so that Israel can be brought back into the fold of God. Just a passage to remind you of that concept in John chapter 10. Remember when Jesus was talking about his being the shepherd and that he was the good shepherd of the sheep? One of the statements that he made in verse 16 was, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Well, the implication is that there was more than one flock, and therefore God wanted to bring them all back under the one fold, and therefore under the one shepherd who is Jesus Christ. We're going to be talking about that as we continue to expand on the relationship of the resurrection and the Spirit. You cannot remove the resurrection from the role and from the work of the Holy Spirit that was poured out in the first century generation. And since the work of the Holy Spirit continued through until the close of the Jewish age, then we have to confine the resurrection that took place within the ministries and the work of the Holy Spirit that consummated at the end of the Jewish age. That's all the time that we have for this morning. It's been a pleasure being with you, and we encourage you to visit with us at our website at www.lastdays-eschatology.net. We also encourage you to visit our second website, which is www.lastdays-eschatology.net, and also www.allthingsfulfilled.com. Again, that's www.allthingsfulfilled.com. Once again, this is William Bell. It's been a pleasure being with you. We look forward to being with you on tomorrow. Stay tuned until then. God bless you.